Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. Hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip. Hip, two, three, four, hip.
This is Wake Up Call. I'm Pastor Steve. This Wake Up Call is for January the 12th, 2017. Today, I will speak about idols and graven images as they were and as they are today in the world. If you search scripture for idols, you will find 95 verses and 101 matches for the word idol itself. Graven image, 27 verses and 66 matches. This is the word of Yahweh. This is a direct commandment to Israel. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, taken from the 10 words, or the 10 commandments, if you will. You shall make no graven image or any likeness that is in the sky above, or that is in the land beneath, or that is in the water from beneath or under the land. Here's a few verses that you can write down concerning this. The book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verse 1. Now remember, these are just a few. Deuteronomy 4, verse 16, and 23, and 25. Deuteronomy 5, verse 8. Deuteronomy 27, 15. Judges 17, verses 3 and 4. Judges 18, verses 14, 17, 20, 30, and 31. 2 Kings 21, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 19 and 20, and 44, verses 9, 10, and 15, and 17, 45, verse 20, and 48, verse 5. That's only a few of many. What is an idol? In the old days, it was an item that was carved of wood or stone. They bowed down to it. They worshipped it. They treated it as a little g god. Instead of worshiping Yahweh, it was the cause of the destruction of the pagan nations surrounding Israel. And then as Israel began to sin and adopted the pagan nation gods that were around them, it brought Yahweh's wrath down upon Israel. They adopted the practices of those around them. They were warned by Yahweh that they were not to mix marriage either way with any of these pagan nations, because they would become infected with the paganism of those nations by the spouses. Eventually, this brought about the dispersion of our people Israel by Yahweh. We were given into captivity and dispersed throughout the world. We were kicked off of the land that was promised to our forefathers because we had turned away from following Yahweh in true worship and adopted the pagan cultures surrounding us. Okay. We were no longer in the original land of Israel. Today we have a bandit state over there that calls itself Israel. But the people that occupy it do not worship Yahweh. They are not of Israelite bloodline. They are Jews and mixed breed Muslims. Yahweh is forbidden to be spoken of. They even have up where the old temples used to be, both of the temples, the Dome of the Rock, an Islamic mosque to Allah, whatever that is. And they fight over that land. And to the Muslims, that Dome of the Rock is a holy site and a place to be revered. And they go in and they bow down to their false god. Oh, you can't say that about Islam. I said it. It's a false god. It's not Yahweh. Anything other than Yahweh is a false god. If you don't like it, that's tough. Deal with it. I'm not trying to be politically correct here. I'm trying to be biblically correct. Correct in the eyes of Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. They worshiped all these idols. And Israel, which finally migrated up into Europe through the Caucasus Mountains, took a lot of this with them, and they had their own little G gods for a while. They had all the Norse gods, the sun god, all of these little g gods, little e Elohim, mighty ones, which were nothing. They were fake, false, things of wood and stone and carved and cast, of gold and silver. And then Yeshua Messiah came and brought the word of Yahweh to the remnant, the tiny little remnant that was still in Jerusalem and the surrounding area, the little scrap that was left of real Israel. And the mixed breeds and the Edomites, mixed with all the Canaanites, hated him. Those that were later called Jews, the Edomite priests, the Babylonian Talmudists, hated him so much that eventually they were permitted by Yahweh to take his life, but only for 3 days, because then the divine Son of Yahweh took his life up again and brought resurrection to us, the children of the promise, because he redeemed Israel with his blood sacrifice, the final blood sacrifice, and he rose up again, the first fruits of the resurrection. And we will be resurrected if we have passed on when he returns. None of these small e Elohim or small g gods has done anything. Only Yahweh has done this. But yet, fast forward, today, what do we have today? We have the Romish Catholic Church, which has been deceiving people for centuries upon centuries. And you go into one of those, and what do you see? You see statues. You see an image on a crossbar, called a cross, with long hair and a crown of thorns and all that stuff. But did you know the depiction of Christ that was painted by Michelangelo, which the Catholic Church adopted, was modeled by Michelangelo's gay lover? He was some kind of royal, a baron or duke or something like that. But he was a homosexual, and Michelangelo was a homosexual, and the church liked that painting so much, they made it the standard for what Christ is supposed to look like. So when you go into a Romish church and you look up over their altar, I use the word loosely, you see a faggot on a stick. The gay lover of Michelangelo. Nobody knows, because no one ever drew a picture of Yeshua while he was on earth. Yes, he had blonde hair and blue eyes and a beard. And he had long hair because he was a Nazir, a sworn dedicated man to Yahweh. But nobody drew an image of him because it was forbidden. Because Yahweh's law, given in Exodus chapter 20, would make it a sin. And Yahshua was sin free because he was the Redeemer of Israel. He would have not allowed that. But the Romish church has idols of saints, statues of popes, the faggot on a stick over the altar. They forbid marriage. But how many of the nuns get pregnant by the priests? How many of the priests are molesting young boys? They teach that the Pope is God's authority on earth. When he speaks, God speaks. He has the power in their religion to change the laws of Yahweh. The priests of the Romish church claim they have the power to forgive sin. They are called Father. But Scripture says, call no one Father except your Father in heaven. They are idols in the flesh of men. They are revered. Those idols in that so-called Romish church are prayed to. They genuflect to them. They light candles to them. All the pictures that are painted, a lot of them have the Queen of Heaven in them. They say it's the Virgin Mary, and they pray to the Virgin Mary, but the Virgin Mary is not a divine being and cannot forgive sin and should not be an idol. But they have made her so falsely. All of the idols in the Old Testament that I was talking about and all those verses were taken out and broken up or chopped down and pulverized and burned, melted down, and the gold was considered unclean and they cast it aside, and so was the silver. Unclean, unholy, abominations. Now we have all this artwork attributed to the Romish church today. It is idolatrous. And according to Yahweh's law and the custom of Israel, it should be destroyed. But is it? Oh no, that's against the law. The law of man that has become corrupted because we are in apostasy. And they teach apostasy. And they teach paganism. And we wonder, why is Yahweh punishing us? Today, anything regardless of what it is, that you put before Yahweh, as it says, you shall have no Elohim before me. None of these things that are in the sky or on the land or in the sea, including men, you shall not have anything before me. How many of the people today virtually worship sports idols, movie stars? They put aside everything for them. Oh, it's okay to like sports. It's okay to appreciate the effort and skill of some athletes, but not to the point that it's done today. They are idolized. They have photographs of them. Big, huge ones you could put on your walls. And that's all a lot of people talk about. They have become idols because they are more important to the people that worship them than Yahweh, the Supreme Being. Those people, for the most part, don't know who Yahweh is. If it's a high holy day that we are supposed to keep, it's commanded, they will put aside the worship of Yahweh, even people sometimes that know who Yahweh is, to watch a football game or a basketball game. Nothing is more important in their lives than watching these sports. Therefore, it is before Yahweh and it has become an idol. Sometimes people are so involved with their job, they put their job first. Or go under the bar and down at a bunch of suds with their buds. That's number one in their life. They don't care about anything else. Yahweh is way on the back burner. Now, a lot of this artwork is very pretty. Pretty pictures, all of that. But it is idolatry. Anything that was ever used as an idol, anything that was ever worshipped as an idol was to be destroyed. Remember when the serpents were biting the people of Israel as punishment, and Yahweh instructed Moshe to make a bronze serpent and hold it up? That was symbolic then of the Christ that was to be held up, lifted up to save the people. Later on, that bronze serpent became an idol. They called it Nehushtan, the bronze god. And they worshiped it. And King Hezekiah had to smash it in pieces and destroy it. The thing of artwork ancient, made by Moshe himself, needed to be destroyed because it had become an idol. And I ask the people that are listening now, what has become an idol in your life that you hold more important than Yahweh? Do you have such? Some may not. What do you put first instead of Yahweh sometimes? Not all the time, not that you're bowing down to anything. But what is getting in between you and Yahweh? That's something each person needs to contemplate. As an individual, there's no blanket coverage here. Everybody might have a personal little idol that if it's time to worship Yahweh, they'll put that aside to do something else that they'd rather do and put Yahweh on the back burner. And I will admit that all of us, including myself, have done this on occasion. Guilty. Because I am a man, I am an Adamite just like you. But the Holy Spirit has raked me over the coals because of it. Now, this is not something somebody else can do for you. This is something you have to do for yourself. I can't examine anybody's life and say, oh, this. No, I'm not going to be here and point fingers. I'm going to speak the words. And the Holy Spirit has to move you as an individual, as an Israelite. This is a deal for self-examination. You can't lie to Yahweh. He knows everything. But you can lie to yourself and you can lie to other people. Lying to yourself and self-deception is the worst. And all of us, including myself, have been guilty of this. The scripture cuts both ways. It cuts me too. Cuts me too. It's a double-edged sword. I am not exempt from this. That's what I tell people. I know all about sin because I've been so good at it my whole life. That gets a little laugh. But in all seriousness, it's true. I am not better than you. I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal that I'm so holier than thou that I'm better than other people. I am still a sinner saved by the grace through Yeshua Messiah. That's all I can say. But I feel that this subject needs to be brought to the attention and to the forefront of the people of Israel and those that are hangers-on that listen but haven't made a decision yet. What do we do in our individual lives that we have things that are akin, like graven images or idols? I know we have sports, but also work. If you work so much trying to get ahead, trying to get ahead, trying to get ahead, that you neglect your family and you neglect your religious services that you should be observing with your family, then work is getting in between you and between Yahweh. That job, that money, that acquisition of stuff. Doesn't matter what it is, if it gets in between you and the worship of Yahweh, it is a form of idol. And what do we do about this? I don't know. It's on the individual basis. It's a decision that each individual Israelite must make. Through self-examination and prayer, pray to keep a clear mind and to open your heart to the Holy Spirit so it will guide you in your life. Maybe you are doing something that takes you away from your family excessively. You work so much that you're not in touch with your own children. You're a stranger to them. You're just some guy that comes in and goes in the bedroom and crashes after dinner, and that's it, a few little words here and there, but you're not spending the time with your family that you should. Are you teaching your children from Scripture? The man of the house is to lead in this. Because they're certainly not going to learn Scripture at school. And if you're sending them to a Judeo-Christian Sunday school, they're not going to learn real Scripture there. They're going to be taught pablum, religiosity. They're not going to be taught the hard truths. That's up to the man of the house to be the leader in teaching his children. That's a duty you assume as a father. If you are an Israelite. How many of our people do that? Is that prevalent among us? I know there are a lot of families out there that do just that. They're separatist families. And they have come out from Babylon. But their number is small. You can have a regular job and a regular family and yet be obedient and observant to the commands of Yahweh. You can do this. It is feasible. It is workable. What is in your life that is more important than the raising of your children in Yahweh's word, thus serving Yahweh and being obedient to his commands and putting him first in your life? And when your children see that Yahweh is first in your life, they will want to follow you because you are their role model. And they will make Yahweh first in their life if you show them that path. If you are a Roman Catholic, get out of that church. It is a church of sin. It is apostasy in the worst form. That is the great whore of Babylon right there. If you're going to these so-called Protestant churches that are teaching error, that are teaching universalism, and your children are going into that church and they're seeing mixed-race couples, homosexuals, they are hearing all this puke about a Jewish Jesus, and Jesus was a Jew and the king of the Jews, and that ilk. Get your children out of that church. Teaching your children sin is not serving Yahweh, and allowing others to teach your children sin is not being obedient to the commands of our Father. That is your responsibility, to oversee the instruction, including the religious instruction of your Israelite children. And if you can't see that, I am sorry for you, and sorrier for your children. There are so many things in our lives, we are so busy that we put Yahweh on the back burner. Hobbies, sex, lack of sex. A man and a woman that are married are supposed to enjoy one another, and if you are so busy that you're so tired that you forget the emotional and physical needs of your spouse, that's destroying a marriage right there. That's hurting that other person. You are supposed to have intimate time together. That's part of the purpose of marriage. And if you truly love someone, you don't ignore them. Whatever is keeping you from your spouse and your duties to your spouse, that's an idol, because that's interfering in something that is considered holy to Yahweh. That marriage is a covenant that you made before Yahweh. That's an idol that is interfering in a process ordained by Yahweh. So inadvertently, it is a sin. You sin against other people as well. Fall short of the, that's one of the words for sin, to fall short of the duty or responsibility. We have done that with Yahweh. We fall short of the duty or responsibility to Him. To properly plan our lives and schedule things for our family so we have things in order when it comes time to observe the commanded feast days of Yahweh. That time belongs to Yahweh. That's His time. It is not our time. It is not a vacation to just go and have fun. Not that it cannot be enjoyable very, very much. But that time belongs and is owed to Yahweh. You are to set aside that appointed time to keep His feasts. And whatever activity prevents you from doing that is like to an idol, because it interferes with Yahweh's worship. It comes between you and Yahweh. Passover, you can keep Passover at home. You can keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, pardon me, at home. The Feast of Tabernacles. There are high holy days where you are not supposed to work. Same way with Tabernacles. There's calendars out that show you what days. But if you have a backyard or even a balcony, you can build Sukkot, a little shelter, a little brush shelter, and decorate it. It tells you how to do that in the Bible. And you can keep that feast even at home. You don't have to go to an assembly. Jerusalem is not the spot anymore. The temple is gone. We don't go to Jerusalem anymore. We're in dispersion. You keep it where you can. A state park, a federal campsite someplace like we do. We have an assembly here that meets for Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread and for Tabernacles. Basically, just to get together and fellowship and in Yahweh and make it a holy time for Him in His honor and glory and be obedient to those commands. Now that's us. There are other groups out there all over that do this. But if you're not part of a group, if you're an individual, and you're isolated in your community, you're the only people that are CI where you are, you can still be observant. Just do it privately at your home. Nothing to keep you from doing that. You don't have to travel 1,000 miles and spend money you don't have. But the observance is mandatory. Wherever you are, you can keep those feasts. You can observe the Day of Atonement. You can fast on that day. You are not to work on that day. Call in sick. Well, why are you sick? Well, I have stomach problems. Oh, okay. Well, come in when you feel better. Your stomach problem is it's empty. Okay, do the 24-hour fast and then break fast with joy. When you break that fast after that sundown, you should feast. Your family should have prepare a big meal at that point. Everybody get together and pitch in and make a meal. You don't do it during the fast, but you do it when the fast is over. You can cook something up and have a midnight meal in great joy that the atonement for Israel has been made by Yeshua Messiah. There are many, many, many things you can do as an individual Israelite. Don't let some idol, whatever it is, or idol-like thing, get between you and your Father in heaven. He loves you. Beyond belief, He loves you. He gave Yeshua Messiah for you. Put aside all your idols and graven images, Israel. Whatever they might be in these days, they've changed in appearance, but the evil is the same. The separation from Yahweh is still the same. Put Yahweh first in your life and have no idol before Him. And that ends the sermon part. Well, we've got a couple of minutes here. We'll talk about some current events. Next week on the 20th is the inauguration. prepare yourselves. Because perhaps there may be some difficulties. If you live in a big city and there are scheduled protests and they're supposed to be tearing up everything, call in sick to work. You can't do your family any good if you're dead or in the hospital. And your car's all torn apart and they've been beating on your head with a brick. If you know these hooligans are going to be active in your community, if you are a white person, you are a target. I mean, that's just how it is. You watch the news, you see this stuff go on, and it is not an isolated incident anymore. It is a common occurrence. All too common. This prophesied pending violence may be the straw that broke the camel's back. It may get really, really ugly, and it's only going to take one thing for some of these cops and some of these National Guardsmen to snap. You don't want to be anywhere near that. You don't want to be going to or from work right through the midst of that. Because a lot of these so-called protesters, in other words, rioters, are going to be armed. And they outnumber the police by far, and they're too stupid to realize that the police are going to have body armor and all that other stuff. They're programmed, they're paid, a lot of them are paid to instigate this. Keep yourself and your family safe. Do not get involved in any of the violence. You cannot do your family any good if you are in a federal prison. Because if you defend yourself, you're going to be charged with a hate crime. They won't, but you will. We have seen in past incidences the police have been told to stand down and not get involved. And that means you're blowing in the breeze. You don't need that. Your family doesn't need that. You can miss a day of work. I think there's going to be a lot of that going on in the major cities and stuff where they're going to have these quote-unquote protests. I think a lot of that is going to go on. People are frightened, and rightfully so, because these thugs have absolutely no moral structure whatsoever, and they are extremely violent, and it will be at a fever pitch on that day, and they will have no fear of the police until the police perhaps open up on them. But I think there may be some shooting back, and that's what the police are prepared for. It may get very nasty, it may not. We don't know, but there's an old cliche, better safe than sorry. Be like a Boy Scout, be prepared. Okay? I don't want to see anything happen to you or your family. Spiritual preparedness for what's coming. Now, I'm not talking about the inauguration. I'm talking about the actual tribulation after the time of Jacob's troubles. This may be or may not be. I'm not a prophet. I'm not going to prophesy. But the full tribulation is going to come after the time of Jacob's trouble, which we are in right now. We are highly oppressed. We are targets just because of our skin color and our religious beliefs. The Judeo-Christian masters out there that are behind the scenes that are teaching in the seminary schools and stuff hate us. They wish us harm. And I mean physical harm. Okay? They will kill us all the day long and think they do God a service because they think they're right and we're wrong. And the Jews are God's chosen people and all men are brothers and God has forgiven the homosexuals and all this puke that they're teaching out there. And a lot of them truly believe it, and their followers are so gullible that they will go along with this. Pardon me. So it's unraveling rapidly. I really don't need to say more. It is going crazy real quick. We really just don't. Have anything to compare it to. We've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. Those of us that are older, like myself, have watched the decline of the United States of America, and then through the news and from afar, we have watched the decline of Europe and the United Kingdom. There are areas in London that white people can't go into. And the same in France and Germany. They have taken over entire neighborhoods with this flood of non-Adamic people. And they hate our way of life and our culture and our religious beliefs and seek to do us harm. Well, it's going to escalate. We see it escalating. We don't see it getting better. We may see a turn with Trump coming in here, but the poor folks over in the United Kingdom with their horrible leaders in Germany and France, the youth are rising up, rightfully so, and they're not going to be tolerant for much longer. It's going to break loose. And I have a feeling when it does that it's going to be simultaneous. It's going to be all over. We don't know how many of these jihadists are in this country. That's not a myth. They hate us. This is not fake news. They really hate us. And they seek to do us harm. Physical violence against our people. This is not something somebody made up to put on the news. This is actually physically happening. There have been a number of violent deaths of our people because of this. And these people that are doing this are idle worshipers. They worship Muhammad. He is idolized. You're not even allowed to have an image of him. It's too sacred. And the tenet of their so-called religion is kill everybody that's not like us. That's what their Quran says. I'm sorry that that's politically incorrect. And we're not supposed to say that. But that is precisely what's happening. They are bringing jihad, the holy war, to us, incrementally increasing. Sad situation. In countries where you were not allowed to own a firearm, such as the United Kingdom, you like to play cricket, don't you? No harm in having a couple of cricket bats around the house. I know it doesn't make a loud noise and knock somebody down 100 yards away, but if they get to the point that they're going to attack you and your family, I'm sure you and some of your chums can get together with cricket bats and have a little cricket practice. My. Ah, that was a good one, mate. Smack. Hit that cricket. Hit that cricket hard. Got a man up. Self-defense is not unscriptural. You're not attacking anyone. You are allowed to defend yourself and your family. And anybody that says you're not is a liar. So quit worrying about opinions. Take care of yourself and your family, brothers and sisters. Take care of yourselves. We have to survive what's coming. And it's not going to be pretty. And we may have to do things that we don't like, but are, unfortunately, all too necessary. What can I say, you know? You may have to do unpleasant things. So what can I say? Well, I'm about done here for this wake-up call. I hope it has woken some of you up to some necessary things. And I will talk at you tomorrow morning on Word for Word. And then next week on the 19th will be the next wake-up call. Praise Yahweh and Shalom Aleichem to all of you.
Live, live, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, lift. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip.